All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of Luke. And I want to start reading in chapter 5, and then we're going to turn over to chapter 17. But I want to begin reading in chapter 5. Let me take just a minute and encourage you to get tickets to the Sweetheart Banquet. I think it would be a wonderful evening for you. The meal is fantastic. We're having crab cakes and prime rib, mashed potatoes, green beans, all that goes with it, salad, dessert. It just doesn't get any better than that. And that alone is worth $35 a plate. All right, so then on top of that, we have a ventriloquist coming. It's hard for hillbillies to say ventriloquist. But we've got a ventriloquist coming this year, and he is really good, really good. He's so funny. And he has all these little Amish characters that he had when we saw him. Now, I don't know what he's going to do here. Probably be the same characters, but it's really good, and you will enjoy it. Now, some of our singles and some of the high school kids have volunteered to do nursery, and they have asked me to stress to you that they're doing this as a ministry to allow the adults to go. And you can bring your kids to the gym at 6 o'clock, and they will entertain your children. The only thing they ask is that you feed them and medicate them before they come, all right? And not necessarily in that order. Cold medicines, I think, is what they had in mind, I hope, anyway. But if you would like to give them a little gratuity for watching your children, I'm sure that they would not refuse that. I would encourage them not to, but babysitting service is available. And if you would like to use the babysitting service, we just ask that you sign up out there so that they know how many kids are coming so they can get snacks and prepare. But it's going to be a wonderful evening, and if you don't go, you're just going to miss it, because everybody's going to be talking about it on Sunday, and everybody's going to say, did you enjoy how the pastor got zinged on Friday night? And if you're not there to hear, then, and I'm sure that I will be the brunt of the jokes, but that's all right. I don't get mad, I get even, and but it's going to be good, so don't miss it. So see Don tonight after the service. You can get your tickets back here at the welcome desk, and then be a good evening out and a good evening away from the kids, and the kids will be well taken care of, and we'll just all have a good time. We've got a good group going, but it's across the street over here at Martin's, and they can handle some more. And so if you want to go, please sign up. And if you can't afford to go, see Pastor Ray. He'll help you out. He didn't tell me to tell you that, but I just thought I would say that for you. But you can see him. All right, Luke chapter 5. I want to read something here that I'm just going to refer to when I get to the message. This is not the passage that I'm preaching from tonight. But I want to read you this little thing that happened. Now, this is in the fifth chapter. This is early in the Lord's ministry. Early. Okay? So look at verse 12. Luke chapter 5. In verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man," what's the next word?
Full.
Full. full of leprosy. Oh, that's not good. One little spot is not good. But if you are full of leprosy, you're in bad shape. So this man was full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, what is that? Well, that's faith. That's faith. You say, where'd he get that? Could have heard it from others. And in all probability, that's where he did get it. He heard others tell of what Jesus had done for them. And that's faith crying out. Verse 13, it says, and he put forth his hand and what? Ooh. That's how leprosy is spread. That's not good either, is it? Can you imagine the Pharisees going ballistic when he reached out his hand and touched that leprous man? Wow. Saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, of Jesus. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Now that's quite a miracle, would you agree? All right, now look over at chapter 17. Now remember what I just read for you in chapter 5 was early in our Lord's ministry. And now a couple of years has passed. And in verse 11 of the 17th chapter, we have this story. It says, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, do you see the similarity? In chapter 5, he went into a certain city. Doesn't say which one. There were dozens and dozens of them. But now here in the 11th chapter, he's leaving, or 17th chapter, he's leaving Galilee, where he was in the 5th chapter, and he's going down to Jerusalem, going south to Jerusalem. And verse 12 says that he entered into a certain village. Could it have been the same one? Well, it could have been. It very well could have been the same one. Read on. It says, there in this certain village met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now that's what the law said they were to do. The law said that they were not to be around people. They were to isolate themselves, because leprosy was so easily spread, and it was especially spread when someone was in the midst of a oozing sore or a blister, and so they were by law commanded to separate from others. So they were doing what they were supposed to do. But watch what happens. In verse 13, it says, and they lifted up their voices. Why? Well, because they were standing afar off. So they raised their voices. and said, Jesus, what's the next word? Master. Have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them. Now watch this carefully. Watch the wording. He said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went. Now remember in chapter 5, when the man asked for mercy, the Lord just reached his hand out, touched the man's leprous skin, and he was cleansed immediately. And then the Lord Jesus said to the man, now go show yourself to the priest. Here in this passage of Scripture, 10 lepers come. They stand afar off. They holler out to Jesus for mercy. The Lord shows mercy, but he does it completely different. Here, instead of immediately healing them, he tells them, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they turned to obey his command, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Now you see the difference? You see the order? See what he did? Now look at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee, what's the next word?
Whole.
Now I have preached from this passage several times. And for those of you that were not here, I got to give you this before I get to the message I have tonight. Leprosy eats away at your fingers, at your toes, at your hands, at your forearms, into your upper arm, then it gets into your body cavity and you die. But it eats away your fingers first. Imagine 10 men. Imagine their fingers are gone. All they have are nubs. And they come and say, have mercy on us. And the Lord cleanses them, verse 14. Last word, verse 14. He cleanses them of their leprosy. In other words, at whatever stage the leprosy left them or had them in at that moment, at whatever level of destruction the disease had done to their bodies, the moment they turned to go to the priest, they were cleansed. There was no leprosy on their bodies. If their fingers were eaten off, they had still no fingers, but their skin was not leprous anymore. But this one man came back, one out of the 10, and fell on his face and thanked the Lord for cleansing him of his leprosy. And the Lord Jesus looked at the man and said, where are the other 9? Boy, we ask that a lot, don't we? Where are the other 9? Yeah, you all see a lot of people saved. Where's the other 9? Well, we got one this morning that walked down the aisle and was thankful. Oh, thank God for the one. And the Lord said, where's the other 9? You'll notice the boy doesn't answer. There is no answer. Now, you can't answer a rhetorical question. The answer is so obvious. Where's the other 9? And the boy just stood there. And the Lord said, sir, thy faith, watch me now. He's got this cleansed nub of a hand. No fingers. Leprosy ate the fingers off months ago. And he's standing there on the ground, bowed, broken, thankful, praising God. And the Lord Jesus said, "Sir, thy faith hath made thee whole." And he got his hand back, or both hands back, or he got his arms back. Do you see it? What a wonderful thing the Lord did. And you know, the folks that get saved and are cured of their spiritual leprosy, they come to church and are thankful and grow and serve the Lord. The Lord makes them whole. He'll put your life back together. He'll give you something to say amen about. All right, that's not the sermon, but boy, that's a good one, isn't it? All right, here's what I want you to see tonight. I'm going to entitle the sermon tonight, Obedience and Blessing. Notice the order, obedience, and then comes the blessing. All right, let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Oh, I pray you'll give me the voice that rings clear and thoughts that just are like putting paint on a canvas. Lord, may we see the pictures tonight. I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit and help me tonight. And Father, help us to be thankful people for what you've done for us, for the salvation that has cured us of our spiritual leprosy and cleansed us of our sin disease. But Father, help us also to be obedient servants and to realize that when we do what we're asked to do by the Lord, then the blessings come. So Father, use the message tonight to help us all to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I love this story. You know I do. I preach from it a lot and have through the years. We did a whole series of sermons back in 2006, I think it was, entitled on. I did them on Sunday nights. I entitled it, "Where's the Other Nine?" Through the summer one year, just every Sunday night, "Where's the Other Nine?" And we went through where some of them probably were. But the healing of these 10 lepers, you just cannot exhaust the blessings that are in these verses. The Lord Jesus is passing through some unknown village, and these 10 miserable men came running out with hearts filled with expectation that some way, somehow, they might find help from the Lord Jesus. And I want you to know they were not disappointed. Now, questions arise in your mind as you read these verses. You might ask yourself, well, how did they know that Jesus was passing through? Well, the text does not tell us. And I cannot say for sure that I know the answer to that question. But I do know that when you have leprosy, or when you had leprosy in Bible times, you carried a death sentence for the whole world to see. There was no cure for leprosy. These men had no hope whatsoever for recovery. Now, had word spread so far and wide about the power of the Lord that it reached these men's ears? Well, that's the only explanation to how they knew he was passing through. Somebody had to relay word and get word to even these men who were living separated and isolated from everybody else. So that's the only explanation. They had to have heard that he was coming their way, and they were probably watching for him, waiting on him, hoping beyond hope that as he came their way, he would be able to rescue them from this awful curse that had afflicted their bodies. Now, let me remind you that earlier in his ministry, in the fifth chapter, we read it a moment ago, there was a leprous man who was in, as Luke said, a certain village, just like these 10 in chapter 17. Could it have been the same village? I do not know. But I do know, I do know this. I know that when this man in chapter 5 came to the Lord Jesus, he cried out, "Master, help me." Same thing these guys cried out. "Master, help me." And is that not the cry of the world today? "Master, help me," he said. And the Lord Jesus did help him and cured him of this fatal disease. But then in that 15th verse, when Luke was telling the story, he added this little addendum and he said, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of, by him of their infirmities." Now, I'm tempted to say, and I think when we get to heaven and we're going to know all this, we're going to find out that this man in chapter 5 just could not contain himself. I think that when he looked down and saw that his leprosy was gone and that the Lord had cured him, he could not contain himself. He just had to tell it to others. Even though the Lord told him, "Don't you tell anybody what I've done for you here." I don't think he could have kept that to himself. Now, question, do you think that maybe this man in chapter 5 had lived in the same leper colony as the 10 of chapter 17? Entirely possible. And could it be that when he heard that Jesus was heading, was still in the area, that he went over and told these boys, "Hey, look, Jesus is here, and he's going to be heading towards Jerusalem on tomorrow. And let me tell you, he touched me and he healed me. When I saw him, I said, 'Master, thou canst make me whole.' And so when you see him now, I want you to fall on your face and cry out to him and say, 'Master, help us.' And I guarantee you, he will do for you exactly what he did for me." Now, I can't prove that. But how else would these guys have known that the Master was walking through? They all lived apart from everybody else. They all lived in colonies. And I would not be a bit surprised to find out when we get to heaven that this man went to where the colony was and he told these 10 about the one who had cured him and who had given him a new lease on life. And their faith was shown not only in their cry, "Master," but in believing that he could do that what he could do for others, he would do, and with equal willingness for them. And so when Jesus came, they went out and sought his help. Now, there are a couple of things that I want to point out to you from this passage tonight. Remember the title of the sermon. I'm calling the sermon tonight, Obedience and Blessing. Obedience and Blessing. Notice that at the moment these 10 men were obedient, that is when the blessing came. Notice that. There are just two or three things I want you to see. Number one, I want you to notice the command was given before they were healed. He commanded them in the 14th verse to go to the priest and show themselves to the priest. But notice, folks, in the 14th verse, when he commanded them to go, they were not yet healed of their leprosy. They did not get healed of the leprosy until they turned to obey. So you have obedience, and that's always followed by blessing. When they obeyed his command, that was when he healed them. Now you say, well, Pastor, why did the Lord do it this way? Was it done to test their faith? I can't imagine it would be for anything else. I do know this. Under the Levitical law, a cleansed leper had to go to the priest to be declared clean. He had to go to the priest. Once he or she was deemed clean, then and only then were they permitted to come back to the synagogue to worship, and then and only then were they permitted to go back to their families. But only the priest could declare them clean. It was the duty of the priest to make such a declaration. Now, go back in your mind to the 5th chapter, and you will remember in the 5th chapter that the Lord Jesus told that man his first order of business was to go to the priest and show himself that he had indeed been cured. So there was nothing strange in the 17th chapter about the request, about the command that the Lord gave to the 10. You see, this was the law. This was the way things were done. And everybody understood that. So when the leper in chapter 5 looked at his skin and realized that he had been healed, he turned and gladly went to show himself to the priest. But these 10 in chapter 17 were not healed first. They were commanded first. They were commanded to go to the priest first. The man in chapter 5, he could look down and see his leprosy cured immediately, and rejoicing in his healing would then immediately see the reason for Christ sending him to the priest. But here, the same command was given while these men were still riddled with leprosy. The leprosy was still eating away when Christ commanded them to go. Not a single trace of cleansing was upon a one of them when he commanded them to go. So certainly, it would have been a trying of their faith for them to turn and obey. I can see their faces now. What? You want us to go and ask the priest for a certificate of cleansing when the ghastly signature of death is still all over our bodies? You want us to go like now? Like this? You know that flashed in at least one or two of them's mind. And yet, that was the one thing the master said. He gave an order, and he called them to obedience. Now, folks, think about it. Is that not what the Lord does to all of us whom he calls to salvation? He does the same thing with us. Isaiah tells us that God's call is, "Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." That is God's call, a call to come to him just as we are. The faith to come to him, to obey his call, then will result in the blessing of being spiritually healed. Man, when we give an invitation and somebody steps out. They're not cleansed and then they come and get saved. No, they're filthy in sin. Come and get cleansed by the Lord. Oh my. So notice that the Lord gave an order and he called them to obedience. Go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Oh, let me ask you, is the Lord calling you tonight? That's why it's not good for somebody to say, well, you know, my life's a mess and I'm going to straighten this up and I'm going to straighten that up and I'm going to stop doing this and stop doing that and I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Listen, dear friend, that never works. What you need to do is be obedient to the call of God, calling you to the Savior, calling you to come and trust Christ as your Savior. And then once you trust Christ as your Savior, then the blessings come. Don't get it backwards, because backwards never works. Is the Lord calling you tonight? Well, you cannot expect to find his healing touch until you are obedient to his call. Second thing I want you to see, I want you to notice that as they went, they were healed. As they went, Luke tells us they were cleansed. They turned to leave the master. They turned to obey the order that they had just been given. And as they went, they won the blessing of being healed of their fateful disease. Now, folks, think about it for just a minute. I submit to you that had they done anything else, they would not have been healed of their leprosy. Think about it. You know, if they had done what a lot of us seem to do. You mean like what, Pastor? Well, I mean stand there and argue with God. What do you mean you want me to go show myself to the priest? Well, they'd have never been cleansed had they not turned and obeyed. There wouldn't have been the blessing had they not been obedient first. Had they just stood there in stunned amazement, or had they stood there in total disbelief, the healing that they asked for would never have been given. They didn't argue. They didn't debate his tactics. They didn't seek to discuss it. And had they done so, each one of them would have ended up in a leper's grave without a testimony and a story to tell. Not a one of them said, well, Lord, isn't there some other way you can treat us? Aren't you glad the Lord deals with our sin disease, all of us, in the same fashion? He handles yours and mine exactly the same. They all had the same command. To all 10, Jesus said the same thing. Go show yourselves to the priest. The one condition of healing was obedience. Being ordered, they had to obey. You see, if he was the master, as they called him, then let them prove their faith to the master by their obedience. And the beautiful thing is, when they obeyed, as they went, they were healed. It was their obedience that the Lord rewarded. He was testing their faith by their response. It is amazing what great reward and blessing comes our way when we are obedient to his command. Let me give you something else to think about. I want you just to think for a minute how little they knew about Jesus. I mean, as far as we know, none of them had ever met him before. As far as we know, they had not previously met him or heard him. I mean, their faith was simply based upon what others said about him. The point is, it is like Jesus said, with faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea. You see, the point is, it doesn't matter the size of your faith. No, a little bit of faith will get you a whole lot of Savior. Amen. Their faith got them healed of leprosy, got them back with their families, got them back in the synagogue, got them back in fellowship with their brethren. All of this came out of simple obedience to the Lord. Wow. That's pretty neat, isn't it? And is this not what we find when we come to Christ and obey His command? Or we come to the Lord obeying His command and we get forgiveness of sin? And then we get the understanding of reading the Scripture. We read the Bible and it actually makes sense to us. As God's Holy Spirit instructs us in the way of truth, we get saved and then we're obedient and we get in the fellowship of the church, the open door, and we get acceptance among the brethren. We get friends. We get opportunities for service. And we get a church family. Wow. We have folks that pray for us. We go to the hospitals and see folks and they look surprised. I can't believe you came to see me. I can't believe you came to pray with me. Well, you go to our church, don't you? Well, yeah, but I'm not real involved. I just come, I probably don't come as much as I should. And I just can't believe that you would come and visit me and pray with me. Well, hey, that's one of the blessed benefits of being in the family. You get people that care for you. And don't forget this, we get assurance of an eternal home in heaven. You know, you ask some people, say, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? They'll say, well, you know, I hope I would. Really? Oh, well, I hope I would. Well, what are you basing that hope on? Well, I got saved when I was about 12 years old. But for the last 30, 40 years, I haven't been living for the Lord, so I hope I would. But then you run into these folks, and probably most of us in this room tonight fit in this category. And here you are, and if I were to walk up to you tonight and say, excuse me, if you died tonight, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Well, yeah. Okay, what are you basing? Well, I know the Lord. You see, one of the blessed benefits of being obedient is the blessing of knowing that you have Christ as your Savior and you're going to heaven when you die. Amen. My salvation's not a hope so. Man, I know so. You say, well, how can you know for sure? It's based on the authority of the Word of God. Oh, I know I'm going to heaven. If I did not know for sure I was going to heaven, I don't know what I'd do. But I know I'm going. So you get all this, all these blessings, just for being obedient to the Lord's call. For all for obeying the word of the Lord and coming to Christ. Obedience and then blessing. And then number three, I want you to notice the command they got was one they could not hope to understand. Now, let me explain that. I just can't get away from this command. The way he responded to these 10 lepers was in such a way that there was no way they could have seen his response coming. I just don't think they were prepared for what he told them, for what he said to them. I really think that it was what he told them to do was the very last thing they were expecting him to say. Don't you think that they were expecting him to do the same to them that he had done to the man in chapter 5? The man in chapter 5, he just reached his hand out, touched the man, and healed him. And if the man in chapter 5 was the one who went to these in chapter 17 and said, hey, listen, if you can just get to the master will heal you. And I can see when I'm standing there, he's got no fingers on his arms. And he says, you mean the Lord can heal this? And the man smiles and says, look at what he did to mine. If he healed me, he can heal you. Well, tell us how he did it. Well, I just approached him. I know you're not supposed to do that, but I was desperate. And I just felt like when I looked into his eyes were saying, come here. Come here, don't be afraid of me. Come here. His eyes were drawing me to him. And so I walked over to the shock and dismay of everyone. You should have seen the Pharisees. Why? They nearly choked to death when I approached him. They were backing up and hollering unclean. But I went and I stood in front of him and said, Master, if you will, you can make me whole. And the Lord just reached his hand out and he touched me. And look at me. I'm good as new. Now, I don't know. It doesn't say, but I can imagine that's the way the conversation went down. And so here comes the 10, and they're approaching. They say, that's him. I think that's him. Look at the entourage of people, and he's out in front. And oh, just look at his face. Look at his eyes. Is that not love personified right there? And they come and they stopped, and one of them puts his hand back and says, remember the law, remember the law. And he cries out, Master, and when he did, everybody else chimed in. Master, have mercy on us. And they were all, I guarantee you, expecting the Lord to either go, come here, boys. Or they were expecting the Lord to put his hand up and heal them right there. None of them were expecting to happen what happened. And the Lord says to the 10, go show yourselves to the priest. Go show yourselves to the priest. And the Bible says, as they turned, they were cleansed. I think that they were expecting him to just raise his hand and heal them. Or maybe walk over and approach them and touch them on the head and impart his healing touch. Had he just right there healed them, they could have fallen down to worship him and praised him for being their deliverer. And probably that was what they were expecting him to do. I have no doubt but what they had heard the testimony from the man in chapter 5. But what he did was totally, totally unexpected. He turned to them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. I wonder if maybe there wasn't a couple of them who might have been just a little bit disappointed. What? Aren't you going to do something spectacular here? I mean, that's it. Just turn and walk away. Just turn and leave and go find a priest. I cannot help but believe that there must have been at least a couple of them who were disappointed when the Lord gave this order. This was just so completely different from the way they thought it would go. I have to wonder if maybe with saddened hearts and hopes dashed, they turned around to walk away about as discouraged and as confused as they could be. But notice what happened. If they were disappointed and if they were discouraged, when they turned around to obey, it was at that moment that they were cleansed. And I'll guarantee you that any disappointment they might have had vanished when they looked down and saw their skin as white as snow. So obeying. Listen to me now. Here it is. In obeying his command, even though they did not understand, in obeying his command, they got the blessing. Wow. You You know, you don't have to understand all the eschatological events of the Bible. You don't have to understand the hypostatic nature of Christ. You don't have to understand all the deep intricacies of hermeneutics in order to get the Savior. No, all you have to do is realize that you've got this disease called sin. You've got this leprous condition called sin, and there's no cure for it other than the touch from the Master's hand. And you come to Him. Obey His command, and the blessing of forgiveness and cleansing comes. In obeying, they found themselves brought back into good graces with themselves, with their fellow man, with their families, with their synagogue. Oh, listen, the blessings are untold once you come to Christ as your Savior. No more are they outcasts. No more are they shunned. No more are they feared by the community. No more are they herded into isolation. All because they obeyed even what they did not understand. I get emails and periodicals just about every week from ministries and people around the country talking about revival. Everybody's talking about revival. They want to see revival in America. And we got churches and mission boards and evangelist ministries, and they're all praying for revival and preaching on revival. And folks want revival in America. Folks are praying for our churches in America to have revival and have that revival sweep across our nation and bring our nation back to God. Man, I'm all for that. I hope and pray that happens. But I tell you, folks, I believe that many who are praying for revival ought to really start praying for obedience. For if this passage of Scripture teaches us anything, and it teaches us a lot, it teaches us that obedience is where we are going to find the blessing. You want revival? How about coming to church? Amen. You want revival? How about reading your Bible? Let's get some obedience going. And once we get the obedience going, then we can pray for revival. And let me remind you that the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Everybody wants the blessings, don't they? But we learn here that the blessing starts with obedience. Is the Lord calling you tonight to be saved? Well, why don't you quit arguing with the Master? If He's calling you, it must be because He can save you. So why don't you quit arguing with the Master and just obey? Just walk down this aisle tonight. Let's let one of us take a Bible, show you how you can get saved and go to heaven tonight. Not complicated. We're the ones that complicate it, not the Lord. The Lord, is the Lord dealing with you about some other matter? Then just obey whatever commandment He is dealing with you about. And then concentrate on the obeying part. And you will be sure the blessings will follow your obedience. Oh, that God's people would just obey the command of the Lord. And as we obey the command of the Lord, the blessings will come. The blessings will come.